Corsican Brothers. From the novel by Alexandre Dumas, adapted for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. Picture Pierre Godet's amazement when he walks into an inn in Ajaccio and finds a man the exact counterpart of his friend Louis Prevost. The only difference is that this man is tanned and toughened by wind and sea and the air of Corsica, and he is dressed in peasant costume. It is then that Pierre suddenly thinks that his friend Louis has played a joke on him and has come across to Ajaccio in the cargo ship which left Toulon 20 minutes earlier. In the gaily painted inn, with its red door and green shutters, and the oddly shaped bottles which line its bar, Pierre Godet roars with laughter and slaps the man Lucien de Franchi on the back.
Oh, you'll always hold it against me to think that you intended to come to Corsica all the time and withheld it from me.
If Monsieur thinks to joke just because he is a European.
Oh, better and better. Let me look at you, Louis. By heaven, you've assumed an air. An air of this place, its wildness, its ruggedness, and even its scowl. Come, Louis, drink with me. I've sampled this wine already. It's excellent. I don't know what you ordered.
The joke has gone far enough, monsieur. We Corsicans are hospitable people to strangers, but we don't like to be laughed at.
It's no use, Louis. You can't fool me. If you thought that a peasant costume such as you're wearing, the velvet jacket, breeches and gaiters, and even the dagger and gun could fool me, you were mistaken. Here, girl, fill these glasses again. Oh, Louis, this is wonderful. You and I exploring this island together. I've already found out that you can choose between hiring horses here or buying them. 5 francs a day for hire or 150 francs to buy the horse outright. And I believe the horses will take you anywhere. They know every inch of the ground around these parts.
You spoke of this dagger, monsieur. If you seek to joke with me further, you will feel it. Stop, Camille. Perhaps at times I drink with strangers, but not strangers who make jokes at my expense.
Louis.
By heaven, if you call me that name again, I'll stab you. You understand? I stab. That is to make you understand, monsieur, that I am not joking. Come, Griffo.
Yes. It's on blood. Your chest.
It is nothing. Only a pinprick. Am I dreaming? This is Corsica. I am Pierre Godet, and that man... That man is not Louis Prevost.
But of course he is not the name you speak of here. That is Lucien de Franchi.
Who?
Lucien de Franchi. He lives up in the mountains with his mother. They're the only two de Franchis left in Corsica.
Lucien de Franchi? But the likeness, I... Bring me more wine, girl. A long glass.
Yes, monsieur. You know someone who would like Mr. Lucien de Franchi?
Like him? So like him that it must be, and yet... This dagger, the pinprick here...
Oh, monsieur, already the blood stains your open shirt. Let me bathe it for you, monsieur.
Thank you.
It's so unlike Lucien to attack Europeans. He is wild and quick-tempered, but never have I heard of such as this. Although, monsieur, you did taunt him, didn't you? You joked with him more than perhaps was necessary.
I think the joke was on me. Tell me, have you known Monsieur de Franchi long, Camille?
Several years. But I've seen him only occasionally when he comes to Ajaccio, which is not often.
And does he live very far away?
He lives on the mountains which overlook Olmito and Filocaro. It is quite a long way, monsieur.
And he's come here for the day?
Yes, monsieur. My mother heard it from some of the men this morning. He goes back there soon, I think, because the Gadici did not come.
Who are the Gadici?
A rival family, monsieur. There is a vendetta between the two families, and Monsieur Lucien has been searching the town for Dino Gadici, who did not arrive.
I see. It seems that the Corsicans are quick to use their daggers. Perhaps it would be unwise to wander alone on the island.
Oh, no, monsieur. All the Corsicans are honest. No matter where you go, no matter how much money you have in your purse, you would never be molested. Those who have to be careful are those who wage the vendetta.
Between Almito and Sulicaro. So that's where this man lives. I'd like to meet him again. I'd sacrifice all my holiday just to meet and talk to that man again.
I must say you're trembling. Perhaps the blade bit more deeply. If I can bathe it for you.
No. I'm not upset because of this wound, Camille. It's just that... Well, I feel that I've seen a ghost. The ghost of someone whom I know now is not really here.
Gaston!
Yes, monsieur.
Was any letter delivered today?
No, monsieur.
Oh.
There is a fire in the library, monsieur.
Thank you, Gaston. Thank you. No letter. Yet it's only the first day. I ask for too much. Why should there be a letter? To receive a letter, one should write first. I shall write at once.
The paper here?
Yes, and a quill. My first letter to Emily Lactouche. Well, Ruffo, I suppose you'll be glad when we reach home.
It's a long journey, Lucien, up through the mountains.
Yes, it is a long journey, because it was all for nothing. Your information must have been wrong. There wasn't one Gadici in the whole of Ajaccio, nor was one expected.
I made no mistake, Lucien. But I know what's happened. You yourself should guess. We ambushed Marianne Gadici. Marianne escaped, and she warned the others. Perhaps they feared a further ambush.
Mm-hmm, perhaps so. Ah, Griffo, the summit at last. The best part of the journey. Ah, Griffo, look down across the mountain.
I look forward rather to home and a good supper.
You always think of your stomach, Griffo. But me? Ah, this could be my supper. The mountains over there, lying one behind the other. The brightest of green here in the foreground. Then behind them, mountains which are blue. Further mountains, pale blue, dark blue, and even purple. And those, the highest of all, with the snow on their peaks. Oh, doesn't it excite you, Griffo? Doesn't it make you feel that you could whip up your horses and ride pell-mell into the distance? Tearing through those trees, over those crags, to the very summit of the highest mountain of all?
If you don't mind, Lucien, let us tear for home. My stomach cries.
Oh, Griffo. That overactive stomach of yours. All right, come on then. Soon we'll see the house.
Madame will be sitting at a window waiting for us to round the bend. You know, Madame's ears are sharp, Lucien. She'll hear the horse's hooves even now.
It was little wonder that Lucien de Franchi had paused at the summit of the mountain, because the wild Corsican scenery was breathtaking, almost terrifying in its rugged beauty. Even now, as their horses picked their way through the crags along the rocky mountain path, mist swirled across, and occasionally through the trees there would be a startling glimpse of a mountain lake, hyacinth blue, set like a jewel in a valley below. Or perhaps there would be a turbulent river slashed with black-pointed stones, or a thick forest clustered on the side of a mountain. All these things Lucien de Franchi loved because he was part of. Finally, as the two horsemen rounded the bend, they looked up expectantly at the lighted window, where, surely enough, old Madame de Franchi sat waiting for the men to come home. The dogs rushed out to give them a welcome, and as they climbed the ladder of the fort-like house, Madame came hurrying out to meet them.
You're early, Lucien. I didn't expect you for hours. Neither you nor Griffo.
You didn't expect us, Mother, and yet you were waiting at the window.
I heard you 20 minutes ago. You should remember that when you come from Ajaccio, the sound comes up through the valley. The sound of hoof.
But only for your ears, Madame. Surely you have the sharpest ears in Corsica.
But tell me, I am aching for news. What happened, my son? Did you find any of the Gadici?
Not a one, Mother, not a one. There may be 29 of them, but they're cowards. Oh,
Griffo and myself think that they were frightened that I might ambush them again.
So, your visit was uneventful.
Not quite uneventful, madam. Tell her, Lucien. Tell her about the Europeans.
Oh, yes. A man came up to me at Camille's, a man whom I'd never seen before.
You almost lost your temper.
Well, he tried me, Griffo. He tried me. Still, this dagger is only for the Gadici.
Dagger? What is all this talk? You fought?
Almost. The man pretended that he knew me. He called me Louis.
He called you Louis?
Yes, he slapped me on the back, laughed with me, and said that I had joked with him and that he was glad to see me.
And even when Lucien asked him to stop with his jokes, he continued, madam.
Until I made him understand that nobody laughs at a Franchi. Why, mother. Mother, what's the matter? Mother.
Thank you, Lucien. I feel giddy. My head. Help me to a chair.
Yes, mother.
Here, madame.
This man, what was he like?
Oh, middle-aged. A man of fashion, obviously.
And a tourist. He talked about horses for hire.
And what else did he say? What else? Horses. Listen. Horses.
What?
Horses on their way here.
I could hear nothing, madame. But your ears will have spoken of your hearing.
They come from Ajaccio.
The Gadici. Bar the windows. Get out the rifles.
They wouldn't dare.
After my meeting with Marianne Gadici, I know that she would dare anything. She's a tigress, mother. And perhaps since I ambushed her only yesterday, she and her family might be retaliating. Griffo, go to the front door. Take up the ladder. Bar the front of the house. We shall be ready.
As the sound of horses grew nearer, preparations were completed inside the fort-like house. Are the Gadici closing in on their hated enemy, or does this sound of horses signify that a stranger comes? A puzzled, perplexed stranger who feels that he must delve deep down into the strange mystery which surrounds an almost incredible likeness between two human beings. You'll hear more of this in the next chapter of The Corsican Brothers. Thank you.